Hi everyone, welcome to the Barrington James podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Wichels. Here at Barrington James, we are dedicated to connecting top tier talent with some of the most innovative companies in the world of life science. Joining me today is my guest, Jeff Chang. Jeff is the co-founder and CPO of Red AI and is also the youngest radiologist and second youngest doctor in US history. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, Jeff, obviously you've had quite an interesting journey. A very, very unique one. Started college very early at the age of 13, into medical school by the age of 16. Tell us kind of a little bit about that journey, kind of that introduction to yourself and how you got into the world of medicine and the medical field.
I'm not sure I really knew what I was doing back when I was 13 or 16, but sort of happened a bit randomly. I went into college as a chemistry major and was much more interested in the medical route rather than getting a PhD in chemistry. It happened through the Hopkins talent search. So everyone takes the SATs in seventh grade. And if you get above a 700 in one of the categories back then, so I ended up doing chemistry at GW and ended up going to a college early. And from there, I went to NYU after finishing at GW and just kind of kept going from there. So decided on radiology mainly because of the technology of it. So how quickly technology is advancing in radiology compared to other specialties. And so ended up practicing as a radiologist for about 10 years, doing overnight ER radiology, although I was fellowship trained in musculoskeletal MRI.
Perfect. And how was that kind of experience, though, being so young, diving in, so early and having that kind of rapid ascent that you've had?
I mean, I would say didn't really kind of connect the dots until after the fact, right? So I've always moved towards what has been most interesting in terms of learning new things, kind of beyond once I finished med school and started working as a radiologist. I also decided to go to business school at the same time and became interested in startups, and then worked in VC and PE, did some graduate work in machine learning. So just kind of was based on what I found interesting at the time. And I don't know that I would have been able to connect the dots to like where we are now based on that. But as a kid, I mean, I really didn't know what I was doing. Most kids at that age don't. So just kind of figured it out as I go.
Oh, nice. Well, it all seemed to have worked out, for the best, obviously. Red AI, they're, driving, great, innovation within the space. You guys are kind of, really at the forefront. What was it that really attracted you to the field of radiology and machine learning and wanting to go down that path and take that as a course?
So as I mentioned, for radiology, it was very much the technology of it that kind of applied technology sooner than most other specialties in medicine. I was actually deciding between radiology versus trauma surgery and ER. And a lot of that is based on when you're in med school, it's dependent on the program you're at. So how good their different electives are. But then in terms of machine learning, I'm not quite sure. I became really interested in it during kind of the last few year or year or two of business school. So I ended up going to business school because I had a friend that was applying to Ross. I was trying to help him get in, so helping him prepare for the GMATs and so on. And so ended up thinking it'd be really interesting to go to business school. So I was already going to LA for fellowship. And so ended up going to UCLA for business school at the same time and really got involved in Entrepreneur Association and all the other professional organizations at UCLA and just became interested in machine learning and decided I needed to build more of a technical background to work on startups. But of course, that's quite a while ago now. So I finished there and did graduate machine learning 11 years ago now, so it's been a while.
Perfect. And like you mentioned, like you've always kind of had that little bit of an entrepreneurial mindset, obviously studying business as well. And then before Red AI, I believe you had another startup, didn't you, that you did? Is it Double? Is that right? Am I saying that right?
Double, yep. Yeah, so my co-founder, Dr. and I have been working together for 11 years now. We actually met at a programming bootcamp in San Francisco in 2020, and we did a YC company together, Doblet, in summer 14. Ran that for 4 years. It was eventually acquired by one of our international partners. It was interesting experience. It was actually a hardware company, Smart Battery Technology. It's very difficult to get a hardware company off the ground and successful.
Was there good lessons that you took from that that you've incorporated into Red AI? What was those? What was your key takeaways that you've made successful with Red AI?
One of the things I learned, which may not always be the intuitive lesson, during Doublet, one of the biggest issues we had was finding firmware engineers. To build in C, or programming in C for firmware. And I probably should have at the time gone and just learned more C firmware to design on my own. To be able to build our firmware, because one of the key issues that ended up arising was there was a bug in a MFI, so made for iPhone, library that nobody else had ever used because nobody else had ever built smart battery technology. And so we were the ones to discover that bug, but it also caused a lot of hardware issues over time. At Red AI, early on, when we were still a small team, I ended up deciding to build out the first version of our client application. We had difficulty finding a Windows developer, and it made a lot more sense just to kind of go ahead and do it on my own. Of course, now we have a much larger team and much more professional developers in terms of being good at team coding practices and much better code than I put in our prototype.
Perfect, perfect. And moving on to, you know, Red AI, you know, what was the main inspiration, the main motivator for you to get that up and going?
So after working as a radiologist for about 10 years doing overnight ER radiology shifts, the volumes have continued to rise. It's been really exhausting for radiologists, the amount of manual work that has to be done every day or every night. So we'd be doing 150, 200, 250 reports a night. So as a radiologist, you're dictating about 75-80% of your time is spent dictating reports, and it's dictating nonstop, right? Because you're just dictating hundreds of reports every day or every night. And so the purpose of Red AI has always been, how do we save radiologists time? How do we reduce fatigue and burnout, improve the overall quality of patient care? So improving the quality of radiology reports. And so our very first product from when we started the company in 2018 was to help automatically generate the last third of the radiology report, what we call the impression section. The conclusions, summarization, follow-up recommendations, customized to each individual radiologist's language. So that generally saves about an hour per 9-hour shift, reduces the number of words radiologists say every day by about a third, and really helps reduce fatigue and burnout. At this point, it's been now in use by more than a third of all health systems, 9 of the 10 largest radiology groups in the U.S. And so really kind of providing that positive impact for radiologists and for health systems.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. And that was kind of your first product, wasn't it? You now have a further 3 or 4 products, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Three main products. Our second product was continuities for follow-up care coordination. So making sure patients come back for their follow-up imaging. So these are typically, when you go to the ER, you have a CT of the abdomen pelvis done. If you have a liver lesion, that might not have been the reason you went to the ER, but it could potentially be a cancer, right? It needs to be followed up in 6 months, but the ER doc's not going to be responsible for ordering that follow-up imaging study because they're not your primary care doc. Your primary care doc may not get the report. The patient may go home with a stack of paper, and as a result, nobody ever follows up, and the patient comes back years later with metastatic disease from the cancer that could have been caught earlier, right? By automatically detecting any actionable findings in radiology reports that need to be followed up and then tracking those, communicating with the patient and the provider, integrating with Epic or Cerner or so on, helping make sure that that follow-up gets done, we can significantly improve overall quality of patient care, reduce liability risk for the health system, and also generate new revenue for the health system. Our final product we just launched in September of 2023 is a new radiology reporting platform. So here we're using generative AI to automatically create more of the report for the radiologist. They can just dictate a few sentences or a few lines, and it automatically creates the report around them, customized to their language, their templates, so saving as much time as possible. And that's been really exciting in the market. It won Best New Radiology Software of 2023 this past October.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. How are you sort of keeping on top of that and making sure that it's always consistently improving? How are you utilizing AI within those products?
So we're from kind of the ground up an AI company. From 2018, we were lucky when we got into the company. That was right when transformer models first came out. So we've always been transformer model based. And transformer models were the basis of large language models over time, right? So we released our first generative AI product in 2019. And have continued to build out our own models. We have by far the largest Ready Audio Report data set usable for new model training. So I've continued to kind of build products that are very focused on both accuracy and exact language customization. We've continued that with both the continuity product and for recording.
And how do you, you know, make sure that that data is always the most accurate that it is? Is just consistent cleaning? Is there like a how is security with that?
Pre-processing of data is one of the most time-consuming things. We have continued to build out more automation of that pre-processing pipeline over time. As we deal with data sets coming from all over the US and more globally as well. So there's the data cleanup, so fixing any errors that might exist in data, because there are a lot of common errors in Ready Audio Reports, normalizing the data, class balancing, so on and so forth. On the other end, there's also a lot of work on the post-processing side. So making sure that the results are accurate, identify the right clinical concepts, and also exactly customized to each radiologist language. So there's over 30 models running in post-processing to help ensure that accuracy, as well as hundreds of additional sets of algorithms.
Perfect. And are there any other issues within radiology that you're seeing at the moment that you kind of have future plans? I know you've mentioned you have more products that you're going to be looking to launch. What other issues within radiology are you currently looking at, and how are you going to use AI to address them?
We're always trying to figure out how best to save radiologists' time, right? While also seeing what other areas AI can help in health systems. Say, for example, for continuity, we've had a lot of health system requests for expanding beyond radiology. On the one hand, we've already built out a dedicated pulmonary workflow for the larger pulmonary nodules that need to be tracked. We've built out a lung cancer screening module to help manage lung cancer screening programs for health systems. We've had requests for building out a dedicated cardiology workflow to be able to track abdominal aortic aneurysms and coronary calcium and hiatal hernias and so on and so forth. We've also, on the screening program side, had interest in liver screening, prostate cancer screening, colonoscopy, so on and so forth. The expansion to labs and vitals and pathology and so on, additional results that may need subspecialty referrals. And similarly, on the radiology side, it's very much for reporting. How do we save the radiologist even more time? How do we incorporate results from imaging AI to automatically fill out more of the report customized to that radiologist language so that they don't have to dictate manually as much?
Okay. Perfect. So you collaborate across quite a wide range of different healthcare organizations, and I think over 100, is that right?
Yeah.
Over 150. So you've achieved that in quite a short period of time. So how have you managed to scale that to that amount of collaboration that quickly?
I think the key thing is driving sufficient ROI, right? A return on investment that matters a lot, specifically to radiology practices or to health systems. The drivers are somewhat different depending on the particular partner, right? So for radiology groups, especially private practices, there's a lot of issues with radiologist fatigue and burnout. It's been the biggest issue facing the industry for the last 5 years in a row, based on Vinny's rankings each year. The volumes of imaging continue to go up, and the number of radiologists can't really go up because it's based on the number of residency positions we train every year. So radiologist fatigue, burnout, time savings, increasing productivity. On the health system side, it tends to be kind of improving the overall clinical accuracy, generating new revenue, reducing liability risk, improving the quality of patient care. Each of our products is focused on different areas depending on who the partner is. Provides that ROI that they can really see immediately.
Perfect. And you recently also had a partnership with Google as well. Kind of tell us a little bit about that and how that came about and what sort of the goal plan behind that product.
Sure. So that's a strategic partnership that includes early access to Google's models for testing to see if they would be useful in either internal applications or within our products to potentially work together on joint products, as well as to commercialize our products through GCP Marketplace, where they would resell our products to the health systems they already work with. So a number of different, and also to move a lot of our model training to a GCP, so dedicated reserved instances for model training. So that's all in progress. It's been very exciting in terms of the amount of interest both within Google and then outside. So just in terms of the there's a lot of potential traction that we can build both with Google and in terms of the customer base, as well as in terms of being able to train models much more quickly.
Perfect. And will this help improve sort of report generation and like clinical accuracy?
I'm sorry?
Will this partnership help you with report, improving like report generation and like clinical accuracy and everything?
It may. So we're always testing the different models to see which ones are useful for internal applications, external applications, so on and so forth. For the time being, our internal proprietary models tend to be by far more accurate than anything else because they are trained on massive amounts of radiology report data. And there's a lot of pre-processing, post-processing work involved. Over time, that may shift for specific applications, specific functionality. And there's always specific internal applications that we're also using different types of models for.
Perfect. And what kind of frameworks and libraries are you guys working with internally at Red AI?
I mean, that always continues to shift depending on what becomes available, right? But we use a wide range of different tools. We use Weights and Biases, Arise, Kalina, so on and so forth. So just a lot of different services. When we're on AWS, we use SageMaker. The state of the art in terms of which frameworks and libraries you use continues to evolve. And you really just have to stay on top of what's currently available, as well as the latest literature from Archive in terms of seeing experimentation on new model features and architecture and so on and so forth, seeing what could apply to your specific situation, whether it's worth experimenting on in your ML research.
Perfect. And is there anything sort of new within AI that you're quite excited by that you'd look to maybe sort of look at, maybe something like the new release from PyTorch, anything like that with large language models?
There's always our ML team is reviewing new both vendors and then new frameworks and new papers every week, right? So we have a dedicated papers channel where a lot of different papers come through and we determine which ones make the most sense for our particular architecture, for our particular models to experiment with. There's, of course, some limitations in what you can do as a company for external open source model training, right? So it has to be, when you're training an open source model or testing one, it needs to be a relatively permissive license. Whether that's MIT license or so on.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. So, and congratulations as well. I forgot to mention at the beginning, you guys won awards quite recently, the CB Insights Awards and Black Book. If I'm not mistaken, is that right?
Congratulations. Yes, Insights, we've continued to win awards over time. The most recent was the Digital Health 50. Most recently, we did win from RBMA several awards. But yeah, I mean, it's great to see the recognition, but also just importantly, seeing the patient impact that we have and the impact on radiologists. So how do we reduce their fatigue and burnout? How do we save them time and improve overall quality of life?
Has there been sort of one standout for you, like since you've started the award, that you're most proud of, that you've accomplished?
I would say in the industry, the one we just won this past October, so Best New Radiology Software of 2023, is considered like the Oscars of radiology. So that was probably the from Ontmini. So Ontmini is the largest professional imaging community in the world. They provide the Minis Awards every year, are the best known annual awards in radiology. So I would say that one probably has the most impact overall. for us, just because it's very well known in our industry. Accenture, Gemseek, they published a report as well at RSNA this past November, noting that RadAI had the highest influence score brand buzz of any private company in radiology. So that was also very good to see.
And I'm guessing you're going to be looking to sort of maintain that over 2024 as well.
Yeah. Continuing to grow and trying to make more of a positive impact, right? So trying to provide the best possible service to our customer base, to be responsive to add new features that they're requesting, so on and so forth. There's always a lot to do.
No, I can imagine. Well, you guys are always doing a fantastic job. Like I mentioned before we jumped on, you know, you was one of the people that were at the top of my list of getting on, just down to the work that you've done, that RadAI does, the impact that it does make. Do you have any advice that you would give for startups maybe looking to push innovation and move in the direction that you've gone in? What made you successful?
I mean, there's a lot of different types of advice you can provide for startups, but I mean, there are a lot of resources. So I would say if you're relatively new, maybe go to something that's freely available, like YC Startup School. Just kind of learn the lessons needed to start a company, to how to manage co-founder issues, how to build a team, hire, fire, so on and so forth over time, how to focus on finding product market fit, and then how to fundraise and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of those steps that are kind of, there's a lot of resources out there that you can learn from. And then over time, of course, building out a network of other founders that you can work with or that you can learn from, finding the right mentors along the way as well. In terms of AI companies, there's a wide range and it varies a lot depending on the specific industry you're in. Healthcare is involves a lot more regulation, data protection, so on and so forth. So it's a very specific industry that where the lessons may not quite apply to many other industries. But I mean, for a healthcare startup, of course, you'll want to ensure you build a strong infrastructure security team, that you get SOC 2 type 2 HIPAA plus compliance as quickly as possible, other regulatory requirements and so on, that you build kind of data protection into your the kind of the foundation of your culture, right? So that you're very clear on how data can be used and can be accessed. HIPAA, of course, requires that all logs have to be kept for at least 6 years. Logging of all user access, user events, so on and so forth. There's a lot to kind of figure out as you build a company in healthcare.
But, it's kind of been a little bit of a hot topic as of late. I don't know if you've noticed, cybersecurity and having tighter sort of regulation, especially kind of in the US. What's your kind of outlook on that? What's your thoughts on the whole thing?
We'll see what happens. I'm not quite sure how quickly the different regulatory bodies and standards organizations will move. They're under a lot of different types of pressure from a lot of different directions. I don't know. AI is evolving very, very quickly. The applications are evolving very quickly, and it's hard to know what will happen in the next 3-4 years. We're always very good at determining short-term and long-term, but very few people are able to kind of predict what will happen in the medium term with any kind of specificity. So,
where would you like to see yourself and RadAI in the next 3 to 5 years?
We are continuing to grow. We're starting to do international expansion. Primarily in English-speaking countries around the world. Of course, we have new product features, new product lines that are coming out in the coming years. Continuing to provide more positive patient impact and impact for health systems, impact for radiologists and other healthcare providers would be really key. Continuity when we see the new cancers that are being diagnosed and treated early, right, having that positive patient impact is really important to the team and really important to us in terms of our overall kind of long-term vision for the company. Our long-term vision, of course, is also how do we make diagnostic imaging care much more accessible globally, right? So there are countries where there are very few radiologists. Like we typically talk about how Malawi has 2 radiologists for 19 million people. And so many cities just never get read, right? Studies get done, imaging studies get done, and just nobody ever, there's no bandwidth to read them. And so can we provide a world-class imaging care to places where there just aren't enough radiologists? And so that's really kind of our long-term goal. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
What sort of things do you think those countries that don't have that kind of access to radiologists, what sort of things could they do to maybe combat that problem?
I mean, over time, imaging AI combined, so multimodal models will be able to generate the full prelim reports or reports for within those countries, given the right regulatory approvals and so on. So making diagnostic care much more accessible, but that is a kind of a medium to long term thing, right? And it'll happen much sooner for like chest X-rays, MSK X-rays, and so on, than for other modalities. But of course, in many countries in the developing world, those are the most common studies being done, right? X-rays and ultrasound.
With the expansion plan that you're looking to have over the next few years, you mentioned looking to move into maybe some more English-speaking countries. Do you have like specific countries in mind that you're looking to move into or would benefit from the most?
Yeah, we're starting to work with customers in both Canada and Australia. We have investors now in the UK, as well as the Middle East, so a large health system investor in the Middle East. And they all do use, so in the Middle East, they also use English for radiology reporting and so on. We were also, I was recently at the JPM conference in Taipei, and it turns out in Taiwan, they also mostly use English for radiology reporting. So it's
interesting.
There's a lot of availability around the world.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of great things on the horizon, new products. Are you able to tell us anything about the new products that you've got coming up and what those features will be?
Not too much. I mean, I talked about for continuity, kind of moving into additional workflows, so cardiology and additional screening programs that we can help manage, and then labs and vitals, pathology, and so on. On the reporting side, we provide a very broad open platform for imaging AI to integrate, right? So we can pull any imaging AI results directly into the report customized to the radiologist's language and template. And so we're working with more and more of the imaging AI companies, which we'll be announcing later this year, to be able to provide those, as well as with various PACS companies, so the image archival and display, to automatically insert measurements directly from PACS and deep link to the key images to automatically create multimedia reports and so on and so forth. So we'll be showing more of those as well. At RSNA this past November, we did showcase the automatic generation of a full prelim report directly from the images for chest X-ray. There we worked with both Google and others to automatically pull out the key findings directly from the images, automatically generate the report customized to the radiologist's language and template. That currently is not FDA clearable, right? The FDA will not currently clear a full prelim read directly from images, but it's just to show that it is possible to to automatically pull results from any imaging AI and help create more of the report for the radiologist. And so we're working with more and more of the imaging AI companies that already have FDA clearances for their specific algorithms to help generate more of the report for the radiologist.
Amazing. Amazing. Could you imagine now, 13-year-old you, do you reckon he would imagine working with the likes of Google? Kind of what would you tell him if you could go back and have a word with the 13-year-old self now? What advice would you give him?
Not sure I'd have very much advice. I don't think 13-year-olds really are. We always listen to any particular advice, and well, you kind of have to learn.
We could always say 16-year-old you, just when you were in medical school. What sort of advice would you give yourself there?
I think be patient and learn. There's a lot you can't connect the dots on until after the fact, right? So if you're exploring and learning as you go, all those things may come back and be particularly useful in the future, right? As a kid, was not particularly interested in kind of studying all the time or anything else. Like when I first went off to NYU, moved to New York at 16, I spent most of that first semester in my room watching TV episodes because I never really had the chance to watch much TV growing up.
What was your go-to?
Sorry, go ahead.
What was your go-to TV episodes that you were watching?
Oh, I mean, I ended up watching series like Stargate SG-1 and Star Trek Next Generation, TNG, as well as like Charmed and Buffy and all sorts of stuff.
All the classics.
Yeah. Shows my age, I guess.
Exactly that. I'm sure having the career that you've had so far to date, achieving, the amazing things that you've done, in your own personal life and with Radar and in the world of AI, I'm sure you'd have some great advice for maybe young people that are just moving into the industry, looking to get some experience. What advice would you give them, just starting out their career and looking to have a career similar to your own?
I mean, if you're going to build a startup, it doesn't hurt to first have experience at a startup that's growing quickly, right? So you see how a startup growing quickly succeeds. So kind of probably Series A scaling. Seed stage can be tricky because not all seed stage companies succeed, and there can be a lot of other still trying to figure out product market fit. But as they say at YC, generally the best experience for learning to build a startup is just building a startup. So you could also just dive in on the deep end. So either way works. So I'm not sure I could really advise it. We tend to find that companies on the consumer side have much younger founders. And they're successful, whereas in industries, because you have to gain at least a couple years of industry experience, especially in healthcare, coming in from the medical route can take many more years, right? And so founders in healthcare tend to be in their mid-late 30s or later. Experience in the industry or going and doing a startup, either track works, but just really always trying to learn as much as possible. Another important thing, of course, is building a strong culture for your team, whether you're all in person or all remote or hybrid somewhere in between. Really focusing on hiring the right people to advance the culture that you want to build. Because so much of your culture is defined by the specific people that you hire over time. And so also so the first person you bring on as a head of talent or so on matters a lot because they also determine who are the first people that you hire. And then the people that you hire determine who else you hire, right? So.
Yeah. And what specific things do you typically look for in like someone when you're looking to take them on board as a candidate? But what are the key factors that make the decision and bring them on your team?
For us, it's very much cultural fit that they really... So we value transparency, we value compassion for other team members, we value folks that are always learning, people that take ownership to some extent, because we're still relatively early, very much doers as well. So you can kind of think and ponder through a problem, but you also have to get stuff done. And we tend to find that people that have a lot of experience in the industry aren't necessarily better at kind of any particular role. As long as you have, so healthcare is a bit tricky, so it does help to have a bit of healthcare experience at least. But if you can learn quickly, if you can kind of grow and adapt, that's a far more important skill.
Perfect. And is there advice that you'd give to a candidate that's looking to get their first job in the industry of medical imaging or with an AI company within healthcare? What sort of advice would you look to get them, or what sort of skills would you look?
It's a bit tricky because I would say if you're going really early stage, then those tend to be somewhat unique opportunities in terms of you'll learn a lot, but it will depend a lot on the specific culture of that particular company, and it's still very much not yet formed, right? And so if it's your very first job, it may not be the very best job to kind of go in a place where they still haven't figured things out much. If you're going somewhat later stage, then they'll have the resources to teach you over time, to give you management skills over time, so on and so forth. So I would say post Series B, C might be the best kind of initial learning experience. But at the same time, if you want to just jump in on the deep end and do whether an early stage startup or when we come to Series A, Series B, there's not quite enough resources to really kind of focus on having interns or to be able to help with upskilling people who are early stage. So it can be a bit tricky. So yeah, I'm not sure I have really good advice there.
No, honestly, any sort of advice is always kind of good advice, I think. There's always something to take away from something. You just got to keep looking, and I'm sure you'll find it. Perfect. Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you so far. If people want to find out, you know, more about Red AI and kind of the work that you guys do, where can they find you?
Sure. You can find us at https www.radai.com, and also on Twitter at radai, and also on LinkedIn. We have a lot of job openings right now, have been growing very quickly recently. So it's been exciting to see kind of the progress that we're making, kind of the patient impact and the provider.
Perfect. What kind of job open things do you guys have at the moment, so that people know? And these are all on your website that they can see and everything as well?
Yeah, it's all on the website. So if you go to redai.com and then go to company and careers, you'll see the current listings. So we have ranging from director of engineering, security and IT, senior software engineers, customer success managers, ML, core services backend, VP of finance implementations, marketing, research scientists, data engineers, so on and so forth.
So a lot of growth on the horizon then for you guys there. And for people that would look to want to apply and work with you guys, what would be the one thing that you would say makes Red AI different from a lot of the other radiology companies out there, or medical imaging companies as a whole?
I think one thing that candidates have mentioned once they talk with us is they're surprised at how much traction we already have, because most, whether imaging AI companies or other radiology companies in the space, tend to be good at building technology, but have not really gotten much traction in terms of health systems or radiology groups. And at this point, we already work with nearly 40% of all health systems in the US and 9 of the 10 largest radiology groups in the country. I think we've really focused on a couple of different things. One, having that ROI, that strong benefit to our partner base, so to providing time savings, reducing fatigue and burnout, improving overall quality of patient care, generating new ROI for health systems, but then also zero change to existing workflow. So we always focus on trying to not disrupt existing workflow as much as possible, so there's nothing new to learn. So like our first product is a zero-click solution, no change to workflow whatsoever. So radiologists tend to get used to it, using it when it's the first day, because there's nothing new to learn. And so we've always focused on how do we make sure that it's as easy as possible to adopt. So that's also helped us in terms of growth.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, look, everyone, go check out Red AI. I was mentioning the huge growth, a lot of opportunities there. So, some exciting times. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. Keep driving innovation within the field. And I look forward to following along and seeing what you guys do next.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Cheers, guys. And I'll see you in the next one.